Newsrooms across the globe, as I'm sure you're aware, are now littered with the empty desks once occupied by sub-editors, those persnickety folk who used to yell at the journalists about their dashes and their clauses. What you might not know is that they were also charged with writing headlines, an art many feel is being lost. Earlier this week, Vincent Musetto, the man responsible for one of the great headlines in history, died aged 75. Vincent was responsible for the iconic headline, "Headless Body in Topless Bar," which accompanied a story about a man who killed a strip club owner and forced a patron to cut off his head. It ran on the front page of the New York Post, a tabloid, back in 1983. But it's a slow and painful death of the witty, irreverent wordplay that were the headlines of yesteryear that have many curmudgeonly print devotees wagging their fingers. And with me to discuss the dark art of headline writing is someone who does it every day, pretty much. Eric Jensen is the editor of the Saturday paper, and he was runner-up at last year's Walkley Awards in the headline writing category. Who won, Eric? Who won?
The Daily Telegraph. It was a horrible moment, I think, for everyone in the room. But somehow a headline about Clive Palmer being asleep in Parliament was apparently better than a witty Muriel's Wedding reference.
Yes, and I'm going to read that one out too because I think it was great. It reads, "Your terrible Muir, et al," which reads better than it probably says on the radio, but it was a gentle dig by you at Ricky Muir and his crossbench colleagues, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. And it's, I mean, we write so frequently about the Senate that it's always a pleasure to find new ways of trying to explain what the pieces are about.
Eric, how do you develop a talent and a predisposition to writing headlines?
Look, it's something when you're editing pieces that you're simply required to do. I think most of the headlines in the Saturday paper are wet a little bit with whiskey, which often helps finding the pun that's hidden in the story. But I think also with the Saturday paper,
are you saying you write best when you're sozzled?
Well, no, I don't write best, but I think the headlines come better. Well, the really silly ones seem more plausible at that time, and by the time they're printed, you know, you find yourself having to agree with them.
Well, today, just to bring you up to speed, I was asking the audience to come in with texts and Facebook entries about some of their favourite headlines. Can I share with you a couple?
Please.
Because I think, as someone who's a devotee and a practitioner, you'd be into this, I think. So this one, in fact, a couple came through from Doug, who lives on the far south coast of New South Wales. The first one I read is from the 1970s oil crisis, when apparently a bloke by the name of Sheikh Yamani was the head of the Organisation of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC. And apparently, during the talks with the British government, the headline that read on the tabloids was, "Yamani or your life." And then the other one that he likes comes from the News of the World, which, of course, was famous, Eric, in the day, for some of the most outrageous headlines ever. One of my favourites was "Alien Curry Beast Bit My Bum." But this one comes from Doug. It says, "Nudist welfare man's model wife elopes with Chinese hypnotist from co-op bacon factory."
You only have to read the story at that point.
Well, I mean, do you need to? I think it's all there, isn't it? And is that the artist to try not only to be clever, but also to engage in the pith of the content of the story?
I think so. I mean, I read in one of the obituaries of Musetto, who wrote the famous "Headless Body in Topless Bar" headline, in one of his obituaries I read that the New York Times the same day headlined that piece, "Owner of a bar shot to death, suspect is held." Apparently the decapitation didn't make it until the third paragraph, and the toplessness was nowhere in the story at all. And so I think, you know, it really is the job of the headline to
But isn't that what separates good taste? Doesn't that separate good taste from good audiences and good readers?
No, not at all. I think, you know, the job of the headline sometimes is to be as profane as possible. I was talking to some of my sub-editors just before about our favourite Australian headlines. "Snedden dies on the job," which was the truth headline, was a favourite across the board. But I'm told that the...
You better explain that to some people who may not understand.
Billy Snedden, unfortunately, died while apparently in Congress in a motel with a woman. And the headline that is most famous for recording that is the Truth's headline, Snedden Dies on the Job. But apparently it replaced a headline that was deemed too poetic and esoteric, which was Snedden Comes and Goes.
Oh, that's so wrong. That's so wrong, it's right. That's
and these are the kinds of wisdom that sub-editors invariably hold on to for what must now have been 40 years since that happened.
So, Eric, I take it from the way you're talking that you were a fan of one Vincent Monsetto. I mean, you knew of his work.
That is, I think, perhaps the most famous headline of all time. In fact, a colleague was thrown out of the Parliamentary Press Gallery in Canberra recently for wearing a T-shirt that had that on it. It was deemed too offensive for the good people of Canberra. And I think that speaks to its enduring charm, the fact that the headline could find its way out of a newspaper that lasts only a day onto a shirt and still be deemed so offensive that you couldn't wear it into our House of Parliament.
32 years later, after the actual headline went to post on the New York Post. And Eric, when it comes to headline writing, I was saying this earlier, and I'm wondering if you agree, do you think online is contributing to the loss of the art of headline writing?
Yes, I mean, there's a number of things. The fact that there are not large banks of sub-editors in newsrooms anymore is a major factor, but also the fact that headlines on stories on the internet are there to optimise searchability. I think the expression is SEO, or search engine optimisation, and so the witty pun is replaced by the words you're most likely to type into Google, and if the word hamster is there or panda, all the better.
And if you can get verbs in like shock, kill, axed, that helps as well, I believe.
That helps. I mean, the wisdom is that all headlines should have verbs, but Masetto is perhaps the exception that proves the rule. His great headline had no verb at all.
You're right. I hadn't thought of that.
This is why it's such a piece of magic.
So, Eric, how much time do you devote each week in the preparation of the paper to headline writing?
Look, it depends on how easily they come. Last week, with the FIFA scandal, I was searching around for ages for a FIFA-fo-fum-style headline until one of our subs grabbed it as if immediately from the air and wrote onto the page, FIFA's faux funds, which was what I was going for and couldn't get.
Philip in Canberra shared this one, a sports editor of his college newspaper, on a report of a soccer game, Fick Fog for Football Fun, which is, actually bastardising the English language to make it work, but that's okay. Isn't it? Fick is spelled F-I-C-K, by the way.
Look, I think that's entirely acceptable. the more often, my favourites are where you can break a pun into words that aren't in the pun, but then set out aloud, kind of bring it to life.
Well, I'm gonna do some of yours. And talking of punning, here's one of yours. After some measures introduced by Employment Minister Eric Abetz, you wrote aiding and abetting, and then I like this one too. Budgets lifting also separates. Was that after the first budget from
Abbott?
That
was after the first budget.
Yes.
Unfortunately, there was no bra tax in it, but had there been, the point would have been better made.
All right, so look, perhaps as we rarely talk to people inside the industry in this manner, Eric, can I ask you, have you got any headlines in mind for the next edition of the Saturday paper that you can share with us now?
We have a big Gillian Triggs piece. She has a name that is endlessly punnable, but much of those puns are completely unhelpful to the story. At the moment, the head sort of contender, I suppose, as we're looking for a headline for the piece, is Old Dogs, New Triggs. But I hope that we get better than that by the time we get to press.
I don't mind it. Eric, it's been a pleasure, and can you please do your best and take out the Walkley Awards for next time around?
The whole newsroom is working on it.
So it'll be a team effort, will it? That's good to hear. Thanks, Eric, and good to talk to you. Eric Jensen, the editor of the Saturday paper, runner-up in last year's Walkley Awards for Best Headline. But as he was saying there, there's nothing like, diminishing staff and sub-editors in newsrooms, and also the imposition of what's called search engine optimization in our online headline writing to really start to curtail the great wit and irreverence that used to be part of headline writing. Keep yours coming in. We do love to hear them. And some of them that have already come in, thank you. I just can't read them out. And you know why.